Aleluia, glória a Deus, glórias a Jesus. I know, this everyone understand. I can't say that. It's really a privilege for me to stay here in front of you, share a little bit the God's word. It's a mix of feelings. I'm so full of joy, the excitement, but I'm shaking here. I'm shaking here because it's hard when you have to preach in another language, in English, my second, third language. But just look around. Look to your left. Look to your right. Maybe behind you. We have a great privilege here of experience a little bit of heaven every Sunday. People of different ethnic groups, people from every nation, sit together, praising God. And unfortunately, today, we have to use English. Unfortunately. Maybe one day, I know we'll be in heaven. And all people, the old nations, all people groups will praise God in one language. I hope it could be in Portuguese. But this doesn't matter because everyone will understand. But because we are speaking in English now, and a second and third language for many of us, we have to pray and ask for the Holy Spirit. Give to us understanding. Give the Him who gave the gift of tongues, can give to us the power to understand, to help me to communicate, and help you to understand what God wants to you for this day. You are not here because you just want to be here, but you are here because God brought you. And I know it's a special day for you. And don't be scared if I start to cry. It's normal because I'm very emotional. But God will speak to you this day. I know that because it's the God's word. So let's pray. Close your eyes and pray with me. Even you can repeat with me. Dear Holy Spirit, good morning. I pray that you, the eyes of our heart may be enlightened in order to communicate and understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In 338 BC, before Christ, Alexander the Great, the king of Macedonia, decided to go to war against Greece. During this war, a Greek soldier was caught, tried to defect, to run away from the battlefield. He was captured and brought in front of the Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was known as a very quite restrict with renegade soldier. Thank you very much. And when he saw this boy, he looked to him and he noticed this was a very young boy. And so Alexander the Great asked him, "Boy, what is your name?" So the boy was shaking and said, My name is Alexander. So the king looked again to him and said, "Boy, what is your name?" He said, "King, my name is Alexander." So Alexander the Great rose from his throne, came to him, hold his shoulders, and said, "Soldier, change your name or change your behavior. Change your name or change your attitude." It seems that Paul is trying to say to the Ephesians, more or less what the Alexander the Great said to this young soldier. "Man, what is your name? Woman, what is your name? Children, what is your name?" The book of Ephesians focuses on who we are in Christ. And this can be seen in the first chapters. He wants to show us our dignity, our position as a soldiers of Christ. In chapter 1, he explained what we have in Christ. In chapter 2, he starts what we were without Christ, later showing us who we are in Christ. Then he explained how we should behave as a Christians. Imagine with me now. Jesus is here. Jesus is come to you. Jesus is come to me. And he is asking, Chris, what's your name? What is your name? Marcus, what is your name? And maybe for many of us, Jesus will say, don't change your name. We are say, I'm Christian. And Jesus will say, maybe for many of us, don't change your name because it's the most important thing you have. But if it's necessary, change your character, change your attitude, change your behavior to be an ambassador worthy of this precious name. Look to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. Paul is answering three questions. I'm a Presbyterian, so I need three questions. First questions. In verse 1 to verse 3, the question is, what were we without Christ? Paul is answering this question. Verse 1 to 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the craving of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Paul introduced here a very important lesson in these three verses. He has shown what we were without Christ so we can understand the value of what we have today in Christ. In other words, he who does not remember from where he came cannot appreciate how far he has come. If you don't know, if you don't look, if you don't remember what you were before, many times you don't give value where you are now as a Christian. We forgot, and maybe that is why many of us have lost the first love. We forgot that we were lost. We forgot that we were dead, without hope, spiritual corpses, controlled by Satan and under the power of this evil world. People who are born in Christian family many times don't realize the privilege they have. But you know the truth? Doesn't matter if your father is a pastor. Doesn't matter if your father, your mother is a missionary. Doesn't matter if you was born in a Christian family and you live in a Christian family for whole your life. The truth is, if you not believe, if you not receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are as lost as everyone. You need Jesus in your life as everyone. The Bible says in verse 1 to 3, we were dead. We have to let this idea penetrate our soul. A corpus, a dead guy doesn't have any kind of reaction. He is not able to do nothing to save himself. Sometimes we hear people say that the unbelievers are dying without Christ outside. The truth is already dead. They are not dying. Spiritual death is the in the Bible means that we are separate from God. We are already dumbed. Sometimes we can get confused when you look around and you see two unbelievers. And one looks like a very good person, a very honorable man. The another one, it's a very bad. So sometimes we may confuse. But the truth is, spiritually speaking, both are dead. If you have a dead body, 4 days in a jungle in Amazon, 4 days. After 4 days, that body will be terrible. Very high level of decomposition. But you can find another guy, a rich one, who, when he was sick, he went to a very fancy clinic and he paid to be freezing after his death. So after 4 days, we have one body who was in the Amazon jungle. And you take a look of him. Ugh. And you see the another body for this fancy, frozen. But you know, maybe seems that he is better than him. But the truth is, both are dead. Both cannot talk to you. Both cannot express any kind of reaction. Both cannot worship God because both are dead. So when you walk at the street, you look for a neighbor, you can sometimes ask, wow, this maybe this guy is better than that guy. But the truth is, both need Jesus Christ. And without him, they're already dumb, dead spiritually. We were dead. We were followers of this world. We were followers of this evil system. We were prisoners of the system. We were captive by Satan. Satan was in control of our lives. According to this test, if you are not saving Jesus, you are saving Satan. There is not a third option. Or you are under of the power and control of Jesus Christ. Or you are under the control of Satan. We were controlled by our flesh. Look again what the Bible says, verse 2 and verse 3. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. And the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. What you find in this text is that you and I were held captive by three enemies of the human soul, an external enemy, the world that is always trying to seduce us through their passions and pleasures. We have an enemy over us, Satan, never stop trying to keep us under his control. He throws all the time so many different kind of temptations to keep us under his control. But there is the third, if for me, is the worst one. This is my internal enemy. I believe my own flesh is my worst enemy. An insensitive heart that doesn't want to listen to God's voice. That does not have pleasure in God's presence. You and I are exactly like that. We were by nature deserve of wrath. Paul in verse 3 says, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Our nature demands us to follow the evil values of the world. The meant to us to be controlled by our flesh and Satan. We did not have the free will to follow God, but only to follow our sinful nature. A friend of mine want to buy a dog. But what's happened is his son brought a turtle for his house. So my friend thought, oh, maybe my problem is solved. So he said, I know. I will give for the turtle a dog's name. So he called a turtle Rex. So he said, Rex, come here. Didn't work. So he said, okay, I know. So he picked up a ball. He threw the ball and said, Hex, catch the ball. But did not happen. So he said, I know what I do. Maybe he likes to hunt. So he grabbed his turtle, take to the field, was close to him, and said, if you see an animal, you raise your leg and point. Nothing happened. So he came home and said, I know now. So he built a sign and put in front of his house, be careful with the turtle. What Paul is saying here, the lesson here is that Rex cannot do never what a dog does, because Rex has a nature of a turtle. He never will be a dog. What Paul is saying here to us is what we were by nature. We were by nature prisoners. We are by nature dead. We are by nature lost, without hope. Spiritual zombies. Walking in the world. Not walking dead this year, but walking the world. We need this radical and powerful change inside out. This is what we need. We saw in verse 1 to 3, Paul showed what we were without Christ. Now, in verse 4 to 6, Paul has answered the second question. What did God do for us in Christ? Verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We were dead, a captive in our transgressions, but because he is rich in mercy and because his great love for us, God made us alive with Christ. It is by grace we have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seat us with him in the reveling realms. Dear brothers and sisters, it's always because God. It's never because me. It's never because you. It's because of his unending love, mercy, and grace that we are here. We pass from being dead, we pass to be a spiritual zombie, to a child of God. Not because you, not because we deserve, not because your culture, your people group is better than anyone, but it's only because the grace of God. Sometimes we have the tendency to emphasize one part of the gospel. We emphasize that you are free from guilt. We emphasize that you are forgiven of our sins and free of the death. These are very important truths. But the gospel is not only that. In Christ, there is no condemnation. It's true. There is no guilt. There is forgiveness. I will not die eternally. And I'm child of God. But this text here emphasizes another part of the gospel. I have to emphasize not only the cross of Christ, which he freed me from the guilt, but we have to emphasize the resurrection. We are, and we were resurrection by with Christ. This is a tough word. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. You are ashamed of your past? I have the solution for you. The solution is Jesus Christ. He can give you a new start. Only him. Everything can be changed. Trust in God. Come to Jesus as you are, and he will change your life. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Thank you very much. Second Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In this text, Paul says that God gave us life in Christ. Christ died for us, so now you and I can live for him. It's not that I have to live as Jesus. It's good to know he forgave all my sins. It's great. That when my body die, I go straight to the heaven, be with him. It's great. But I have now the power to live different because I have the resurrection with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, we have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he gave to you the power to live a Christian life. Which this power have the ability to obey God for the first time. I have the free will to obey God for the first time. Because before I could not do this. But now we can. Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit inside us. Help us to obey God. We can now choose between obey this world, obey Satan, obey our flesh, and obey God. We have now this power. We have now this ability. Who here likes chocolate? Okay. I have a Brazilian chocolate here. If it was a Brazilian coffee, it's better. But a Brazilian chocolate here. Who wants a Brazilian chocolate? Okay. Oh, sorry. Please. No, him. No. Here, blue. He. Yeah. Okay. Maybe you are asking, what's going on here now? Why he did this? In the middle of sermon. Think with me. We remember John 3:16. I know in Portuguese. Okay? Nathan, do you remember John 3:16? Can I say loud? Yeah, you can help him if you need. Okay? So, John 3:16 is maybe the most known verse in the Bible. And the words in Portuguese say, porque Deus amou o mundo de tal maneira que deu seu único filho para que todo aquele que nele crê não pereça, mas tenha vida eterna. There is a point here that says, you have to believe. Believe. You have to believe. In John 1:12, remember 1:12 by memory. Okay, can you say loud?
It to as many as who believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God.
Mm-hmm. Believe. And there is another word in Mary say, when you receive. Receive. So we have two things here. We have believe and we have receive. Who? Okay, I will open here. So, exactly is, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We have two things here. We have to believe, and we have to receive. When I tell here, I have, when I told I have a chocolate, a Brazilian chocolate here, many of you believe because you didn't see. You didn't see. But he was the one who received. Maybe you have come for this meeting here every Sunday, year by year, week by week, thinking, maybe it's there that I can improve my English. Maybe your motivation could be, oh, maybe in that church I can find a husband or a wife. Maybe I can have contacts with foreigners. But I want to say a secret for you. Behind all of that, it's God who is working your life. And God, week by week, is talking to you. Talk to your spirit. Prepare you. And maybe you are here for so many time, go for so many different programs. And you have even believed. You can say, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in him. It's true. I like to be here. I like to be in community. But do you know what you miss? Maybe you miss to receive. If he only believed, but did not receive, get the gift, he said, I want this gift with me. You miss the opportunity. So I want to say to you, today is a day of salvation. Today could be a day for you to not only believe, but receive this great love that was demonstrated in Jesus Christ. So when we finish this service here, I will be here. And if you are come so many weeks, or maybe the first time you came here and you believe, and you said, I don't want only to believe. I won't believe, but I want to say, I want Jesus in my life. You can come here. I can pray for you in the end of the service. Okay, this was not in my sermon, but came. So praise the Lord for that. Okay, so Galatians 2:20 say, we have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, that the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God gave us life in Christ. God gave us a new ability to live a Christian life. We have now the power. God gave us the dignity of Jesus, the dignity, the justice of Christ. The text said he put us, he seated us with Christ in the heavenly realms. He raised us. In verse 7 to 10, Paul is answering a third question. Why did God do all this for us? Why? Verse 7. In order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handwork, created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What did God do all this for us? We are saved by Jesus Christ to show the grace of God to the world. Verse 7 says, in order that in coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressing his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Think with me now. We were saved to be an illustration to the whole universe, an illustration of God's grace, of God's love. This is why we were saved. We were nothing, anything more than jars of clay. But God transformed that which was by nature just a jar of clay into a trophy of his grace. What a trophy does. When you go for some living room, some house, you see a big trophy. You look, we try to read what is down in the bottom of the trophy, and they say something. Honor who has the trophy. So we are trophies in God's hands. So people can look for me and say, oh, this is a handwork of God. Praise be God. This is why. God save us. God save us not only to show his grace to the world, and God save us by his grace so that he receives the glory and not the men. Verse 8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourself. This is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Our life, our salvation belongs to God. We will spend all eternity praising him. In heaven, there is no place for pride. You are not saved because you are good, because you were good. No. You were saved because of God's grace, because of God's love. Don't fool yourself, think that you deserve to go to the heaven. Nobody. Everyone here deserves to go to the hell. This is the truth. But it's because his grace. Because his grace. We are here. We have been saved to show the work to do. We have been saved to do the work of Christ on earth. In verse 10, we see that God is the center again. For we are God's handwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We have been saved to do the work of Christ on earth. We are created by God to do works. But you need to understand, we are not saved because of our good works. But we do good works because we were already saved. You catch? I'll try again. We were saved not because of our good works. But we do good works because we were already saved. You cannot buy your salvation through your good works. But God prepared us in advance. When you accept Jesus, God already prepared all things in front of your life. Just example. You are a Christian. You go to school. And you see around you people cheating the test. And you do not do this. It's a good work. It's not for you. You show everyone you are different. You go home, and in front of you, maybe the dom-com yell with you, something that you're not your fault. But you hold yourself, and you speak kindly to her. It's a good work. You are show to her how to control yourself. It's a good work. Somebody do something wrong with you and you forgive. This is a good work. This is a good work. Everything you go, everything you does, you can show this power, the power of a life transformed by God, your life. And everyone will praise Him. Today we saw Paul answer three basic questions. What we were without Christ? We were dead. We were followers of this world. We are captive by Satan. We are controlled by our flesh. We are by nature deserving of wrath. What did God do for us in Christ? He gave us life. He gives a new ability to live a Christian life. The life of Christ in us. He gave us the dignity and justice of Christ. Why did God do all of this for us? We are saved by Jesus Christ to show the grace of God to the world. God saved us by His grace so that He would receive the glory, not man. We have been saved to do the work of Christ on earth. Paul begins chapter 1 by showing us what you have in Christ. In chapter 2, he explained what you were without Christ. And then he talked about who you are in Christ. Paul's purpose here in writing was to prepare us to live a true and powerful Christian life. I'm finished this morning with Paul. One more time, emphasize this part of the gospel. Philippians 1:27-28 says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. Keep this in your mind. The knowledge of what I was and what God did for me in Christ should lead me to a deeper relationship with God, seeking to serve Him and please Him in all areas of my life. I will repeat. The knowledge of what I was and what God did for me in Christ should lead me to a deeper relationship with God, seeking to serve Him and please Him in all areas of my life. When you look back, and you see everything God did for us and He still does, the only answer is living a real and powerful Christian life. Don't be afraid. Share with people around you. Don't be afraid. God is with you. God, now you have the power to change your life. In Jesus' name, amen.